I understand the Dolphins won last night.
Woohoo!
Oh boy,
barely.
See? That gift came in just in time for that. I appreciate that. So Mary and Joseph were probably very weary. Newborns typically don't sleep through the night. And they seem to have traveled a lot. If you follow the Bible script, they've gone from Nazareth to Bethlehem, Bethlehem to Jerusalem, Jerusalem back to Nazareth. Now back from Nazareth, back to Jerusalem, on foot, up and down hills and mountains. Okay, we're not talking around the corner, all right? We're talking 65 to 85 miles one way. We're talking about 4 or 5 days on the road. They're poor, there's no Wawas, no rest areas. You know, it's not an easy time. And being on the road means that Joseph's probably not working. Now they're already poor and losing income. So they're sleeping on the side of the road. No fast food, probably hardly any food for them at all. No showers. Everything is dirty. Everything is dusty. It's very unsanitary. And then you finally get to the church. You finally get to the temple. And here come two old geezers grabbing your baby. You don't know who they are. What are they doing? Where's their mask? What about social distancing? Where are the safety protocols? Grabbing our baby like that. This is not a Hallmark, Olin Mills, take a selfie moment. And apparently Simeon has been going to church for a really, really long time. Possibly before calendars were invented, because they don't even tell us how long he's been there. There is a tradition that says he was 113 years old. Anna, we're told, 84. Every day, every single day in temple. That's like 31,000 days in a row. You get a gold mark for that. Every day they go to church and they're looking for hope. Hope. They're looking for hope because probably both of them saw and remember when the city and its temple were conquered by Rome. They saw the youths and the men trying to prevent the military standards of Rome, the golden eagles, from being put inside their temple. They were probably remembering how Pompey had desecrated the temple, had gone into the Holy of Holies, which only one person could go, and only one day of the year, only the high priest could go in there, and there's Pompey desecrating everything that they held sacred. That was when they were young. Now they are old. They are old. And they know something about faithfulness, and they know something about waiting. And they've been waiting a long, long time, and there's not been any angels singing. There's no star guiding. Instead, they have been open to the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And because of that, they are able to recognize God is in their midst. They see Jesus, and he truly is a sight for sore eyes. And we can relate. We can relate. We are tired, are we not, of what we have seen? Tired of it all, tired of the hate, tired of the divisiveness, tired of the pandemic, tired of lies, tired of deceit, tired of fake conspiracies that have real consequences, tired of people sowing mistrust, tired of selfish, childish, destructive behavior. We have sore eyes, and yet God is in our midst. We look around for hope and for healing, for refreshment, for strength. We are looking for encouragement. So what do we see? Are we seeing threats? Are we seeing problems? Are we seeing weariness? Or are we seeing hope? Are we seeing God? Are we seeing God's promises? When Simeon and Anna see Jesus, He's just a baby. He's not talking, he's not crawling, he's not doing anything except for eating, sleeping, and pooping. That's all babies do. It's not like he's going to straighten things out right away. Not like he's going to give a teaching right away. In fact, even later, when he does finally begin the teaching, begins his ministry, he's still not what people think a Messiah should be. They're having a hard time. It's hard sometimes when God doesn't come the way you expect God to come. I'm sure you all remember in Israel, the Jerusalem, the Wailing Wall. And they were doing a documentary on the Wailing Wall and how people would go to the wall and pray and how they would write down their prayer and put the piece of paper into the wall. And they interview this one old man, very old man, and they interview him and they say, "What are you praying for? How long have you been coming here?" He says, "I've been coming here every single day for 23 years. 23 years, every single day, you never miss, never miss. What are you praying for?" He said, "Peace." And they said, "There's conflict all over the place. What's it feel like?" And he says, "Like I'm talking to a wall." Let it, yeah, see, yeah. It's a wall. Never mind. All right. When we are weary, when things are getting cloudy or hard or disoriented, we are reminded of a hope that God has given us. We are reminded of God's faithfulness. We are reminded that God is with us. Our question is, will we see God today? Remember the story, I've shared it with you before. The old monastery, down to just five monks, all of them ancient in days. And it's just falling apart. No one's able to really take care of it the way it should be taken care of. They can't recruit anyone. No one's coming to their chapel services. And the abbot is just depressed and distraught. And he goes to the hermitage of the rabbi. The rabbi in town always went out to this hermitage for a time of prayer. And he gathers with the rabbi and he begins to pour out his heart. And the rabbi understands and the rabbi says, "I know what it's like." He says, "In the city, it's the same thing. The people have lost hope." And the abbot says, "Well, certainly, don't you have any advice? Don't you have any wisdom that you can share?" And he says, "I am sorry. I have nothing to share." And so they spent the day together and they spent time in prayer and they shared a meal, just commiserating with one another about the state of the community. But as the abbot was leaving, one more time he asked, he says, "I have no wisdom to give you," but the rabbi said, "All I can tell you is that the Messiah is among you." What? He goes back and the monks wait for him and they said, what wisdom did the rabbi share? And he says, "He didn't have any wisdom. He didn't have any guidance. All he told me was that the Messiah is among us." The Messiah is among us? Wonder which one of us it is. Who could it be? And they began, "Maybe it's the abbot." "No, it couldn't be the..." "Brother Thomas, it's probably..." "He's pretty holy." "It wouldn't be Elrod. Elrod, he's crotchety all the time. He's always got problems." "Except for, you know, he's almost always right. He's really, really wise." "It couldn't be Thomas. Thomas is just too passive. But you know, every time he needs something done, Thomas just seems to be the one that is there." It couldn't be me. Oh my gosh, what if he's in me? And they began to treat each other with a great deal of respect. And they began to look at themselves differently. And because of the extraordinary respect shown to one another, for the respect that they began to show to themselves, for the reverence that they began to show, that God truly may be in their midst, their attitude changed, their actions changed. People in the city would come out to the country and they would notice a pastoral presence that they had never felt before. And they started coming to the chapel services, and they started feeling the presence of God in their own lives and going back into the city, and began to make changes in the way that they lived, in the way that they treated one another. And soon some of the young men came out and talked to the monks, and a few of them felt the call that possibly God was calling them into a life of service, into a life of ministry. And the monastery began to thrive, and the city was renewed, and the people were refreshed. God in their midst. Do you remember the hymn, just a short little line? I'll not sing it. Open our eyes, Lord. We want to see Jesus, to reach out and touch him and say that we love him. There is no way of knowing what the year 2021 is going to bring to us, what the days ahead are going to happen. But what we do know as Christians is we believe this, that God is amongst us. God is with us. If we will open our eyes, we will be able to see God's love, to celebrate God's grace, to share that good news. That's our testimony. That's our witness. And that's the picture that the world needs to see. Because the world right now has weary eyes, sore eyes, and they need to see the promise of God. Amen.